Okay, now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about this technology that they're developing in the Waterford, Wexford region. It's called the Prolonged Release Injectable Device Project. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show Niall O'Reilly, and he's manager of the Pharmaceutical and Molecular Biotechnology Research Centre, which is based at Waterford Institute of Technology. Welcome to the show, Niall.
Thanks, Sean.
So, yeah, maybe give us a bit of context to this issue. Just in my intro earlier on, I mentioned that there are a number of long-term or chronic diseases where people need to take medications on a daily basis. But give us an idea of some of these.
Yeah, I suppose really where prolonged-release drug delivery technologies come into their own are for these kind of long-term conditions, like you mentioned, where I suppose doctors can't be absolutely sure the patients are actually taking the medication as directed.
Mm-hmm.
So these could be in elderly populations, maybe where people are on maybe two or three different medications at a time, people who suffer maybe from psychiatric disorders, so for various reasons there, don't take their medication as directed. Sometimes there are people who are ill, but they feel well on a given day, and they think, well, you know, maybe I don't need to take whatever medication mm-hmm. today, so they don't take it. But in order for it to be effective long-term, they need to be taking it on a consistent basis as directed by their doctors. So from that point of view, these prolonged-release drug delivery technologies can be very useful in helping.
And it's a big problem in medicine, I believe, isn't it, that non-compliance, as they call it, just people, as you say, not that they don't want to take the medicine, but they just don't do it for the reasons you mentioned.
Absolutely, and even in very simple cases. So, I mean, in general, the more complex the dosage regime is, the less likely people are to take them properly. So if you take medicine that might have to be taken three or four times a day, maybe it might have to be taken with meals or after meals or before meals and so on. The more complicated it is, the less likely people are to actually take it properly.
Okay, so the general concept with the device, this prolonged release device, mm-hmm. would be what? That people would get an injection once a month or something like that in the GP, would that be?
Exactly, yes. You go into your GP, they give you an injection into the arm or intramuscular. And that would slowly release the drug over a period of, we'd say, maybe a month to up to 3 months potentially.
Okay. And the device that you're aiming to produce, is it quite unique, or are there other teams working on a similar one, or do you have competition?
Yeah, no. I mean, well, I suppose device is probably slightly misleading. What we would be looking at doing is developing a formulation between a drug and a polymer.
Polymer being a plastic, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So polymer, I guess, would be the chemical terminology we would use for a plastic. So it would be incorporated into that polymer, it would be injected into the arm, and then the polymer would slowly degrade over a period of months, and as it degrades, the drug gets released then over time. There are a couple of these, there are some formulations on the market already, so it's not absolutely new, but we're targeting a particular drug for a certain condition. So that's what we're doing as part of this project here. Now, unfortunately, I can't actually go into
too much detail. You can't talk about the drug. Yeah, okay.
For commercial reasons. But,
sure.
So what we're trying to do is slightly different in the sense that there's nothing on the market at the moment which really tackles this particular condition.
And I know with, say, you mentioned the psychiatric condition, say, with something mm-hmm. like schizophrenia,
exactly,
or maybe
yeah.
depression might be a better yeah. example, that, you know, people, if they're taking their antidepressants, they may, after a couple of weeks, they feel great and I don't need mm-hmm. these anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's not really a good thing to do.
No, because the reason they feel great is because they're taking their medication as they're directed. And there is actually schizophrenia. Actually, there is a depot injection on the market at the moment.
Depot is long term, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like you're putting in a reservoir of drug in there, which will slowly release over a period of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something on the market there, Fluoxetine depot, which basically it gets injected into the muscle, and that will release over a period of a month.
Okay.
And in that case, the doctor knows that the patient is actually getting the medication they need. If the patient was to go back to the doctor and say, look, I'm still, you know, feeling the same as I was before, the doctor doesn't really know whether that's because the medication isn't working or whether the patient isn't taking the medication as
sure.
directed.
Sure. And that's a common question, I'm sure, that doctors or GPs would be
Absolutely,
asking themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe with older patients as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
apart from would Alzheimer's, stuff like that, come into it as well? Dementia?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that would be, in the future, that would be something that, you know, would certainly be useful there. I mean, not necessarily those conditions, but, you know, in general, just for geriatric medicine, as you're probably aware, people are living longer. So, you know, and as they grow older, they become ill with various different conditions.
Yeah.
And, you know, so having something there which, you know, if they're on two or three different medications, maybe several times, different times during the day they have to take them, really something like this probably can prolong the release of a period.
And it might, if you have elderly parents, it might reduce your worry that, you know, that they're taking what they need to take.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And can you tell us then, how does something like this develop then? I know it's a collaboration between your centre there, the Pharmaceutical Molecular Biotechnology Research Centre. Mm-hmm. You're based in Waterford Institute of Technology, yeah, aren't you? And the Southeastern Applied Materials, mm-hmm, Group, and they're in...
They're also in Waterford.
They're also in Waterford, yeah. And you're linked in with general practitioners. So
exactly.
How does it work where you would all get together to develop something like this?
Well, really what this stemmed from was a couple of meetings that we had between us here in the PMBRC, which is Pharmaceutical Molecular Biotechnology Research Centre, that's the centre that I manage, and the Southeastern Applied Materials Research Centre. We were having a couple of discussions just about this general area, and we decided really to get kind of good input. We needed the input of doctors who are treating conditions at the coalface. Mm. So we got a couple of GPs in. We just started having a few meetings and discussions with them. They came back to us and identified a particular condition which they thought wasn't really properly been treated with existing medications.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, we applied to Science Foundation Ireland to get funding for a project. We put a proposal in place. We think it's something that can be tackled using biodegradable polymers. So we put in the funding application, and we got, delighted to say, we got the funding.
All right. And of course, the input then of the GPs was vital in the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were able to kind of, for example, we had some ideas of our own. When we ran it past them, they said, yeah, okay, maybe, but I mean, this would actually be a better area to work in. And, you know, so there are people obviously that have the medical experience, but also they're familiar with the conditions that the people suffer with on a daily basis, and what needs to be treated more effectively at the moment.
And in a business sense, are they brought in as consultants, or are they part of the team, or, you know, how do they get rewarded if it goes well? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, we would have an agreement in place with them, non-disclosure agreements and other agreements in place with them in that regard. So yes, but they will be an integral part of the team. Yeah.
Okay. And just another question then, if you look at kind of a little bit beyond this, beyond the long-term injectable device, I mean, if you're looking into the future, mm-hmm, I suppose, would it ever be possible to have kind of an implant that would last for a year or 2 years or something like that, to go even beyond the 1 month?
Yeah, I mean, that is possible, and I think there are some implants out there. The problem with implants, I suppose, is that you ultimately have to go in and dig them out after a while, so it's a little more invasive. The biodegradable polymer side of things, when the drug is finished releasing from the dosage form, the polymer itself kind of degrades, so you don't have to go in and surgically remove it after the drug has been released.
Okay, and we just have a little bit of time. You could tell us about you had another project that was funded also.
Yeah, we've a couple of, we specialise in one of our areas of specialisation here in Waterford Institute of Technology is in the whole area of drug delivery. So we have two other projects at the moment, one on transdermal drug delivery, which is drug delivery across the skin,
mm-hmm,
and then the other one is ocular drug delivery, so that's delivering drugs to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the transdermal project, is actually a collaboration between ourselves here in Waterford Institute of Technology, Airgen Pharma, which are a small Irish company here based in Waterford, and then two centres in Cardiff, one in Cardiff University, and then a small company called Annex, who are also based in Cardiff. So it's a collaboration between the four different organisations working together. That's a European funded project, and we're looking to develop drug delivery systems which can overcome some of the problems with transdermal drug delivery at the moment.
Right. What would be, well, when I think of transdermal, I just think of an injection. Through the skin.
Yeah.
So is that not a very good way to deliver a drug? Or,
well, you can certainly inject through the skin, and it's effective, but I don't think anyone really likes getting an injection on a regular basis.
Okay.
When you consider transdermal, actually probably the first thing that comes to most people's mind would be nicotine patches.
Right.
Okay. So nicotine patches are very effective in terms of delivering the nicotine into the body, but nicotine is unusual in the sense that it has a very precise physicochemical properties which allow it to pass through the skin. Most drugs are unable to pass through the skin.
Mm.
So what we're looking to do is basically broaden the range of drugs that can be delivered across the skin by using various different formulations.
What about other conditions where people have to have injections regularly, with insulin, for example, with diabetes,
yeah,
or something? Would that be another...
Absolutely. In fact, one of the areas for transdermal drug delivery is where they're looking at it a bit more now is the whole area of peptides and proteins. So these would be biomolecules, biologically derived molecules. Now, at the moment, you know, if you swallow a pill maybe with a peptide or a protein in it, it usually doesn't get absorbed through the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't effectively deliver them by that route. And normally what happens is they're delivered by an intravenous infusion.
Yeah.
Now, that's not very convenient. You have to go into a hospital or a doctor's surgery or whatever to get that done, and it's not very convenient. So what people are looking at is using transdermal drug delivery, in other words, patches, to deliver these peptides, these small molecules, or sorry, these molecules, biologically derived molecules. The problem is that most large molecules won't actually pass through the skin.
They're too big,
exactly. Yeah. And also they have certain things that they've got if I go into the chemistry of it, they've got charged groups on it, and basically they don't pass well through the skin.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has been developed in transdermally is this concept of microneedles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tiny, tiny needles, yeah.
Tiny, tiny needles. They're about maybe 100 micron in length. So that's 1/10 of a millimeter. So they can actually puncture the upper layer of the skin, which is basically dead skin cells, can puncture that and then basically allow you to deliver the drug in below that layer. And at that point, it actually gets absorbed.
And lo and behold, it doesn't hurt, I'm sure.
It doesn't, no, because...
Which is important.
Because the pain receptors are further down in the skin, basically these microneedles are enough to puncture the outer layer, but not long enough to actually hit the pain receptors.
Okay, well, both of those projects sound great, and thanks very much for coming on the show to tell us about those. Niall O'Reilly. He's manager of the Pharmaceutical and Molecular Biotechnology Research Centre at WIT. They've just got funding for two different projects in the area of drug delivery, and they sound like they're really promising.